of the book that I'm only part. Some of it is my own thoughts. Some of it is some I've borrowed. So I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight, and it's a great way to kind of catch up and with me. All right. Galatians chapter number 2 is where in our series called Free in Christ. We're going to be focusing on the verses 16 through 21 tonight. So just a recap, in chapter 1 you have the introduction, of course, but then you have the gospel of grace is exclusive, verses 6 through 9, that there is no other way to heaven but through Christ and His and the grace of God. The gospel of grace is by the revelation of Christ, Him being revealed to us and us trusting Him by faith. And of course, the gospel of grace is displayed in Paul's testimony in verses 13 through 24. I mean, the greatest witness of all is a change in you. There is just, that is it. I mean, above all the things you can say and of all the things that you can teach, a change in you is going to shout the loudest that Christ is real. All right. And then a few weeks ago, we looked at the gospel of grace, how it was preached to the Gentiles and accepted by the apostles. But then Peter, when his friends from Jerusalem showed up, he kind of backed up the truck a little bit and kind of went along with the Judaizers. And Paul had to call him out on it. And we know that he repented, and because when Peter wrote his epistles, he admitted that he and Paul were on the same page here. This is right. It's only by grace. It's not by the works of the law. So we know that just we can all have that momentary lapse where we freeze up, or where we don't stand when we should, or we're quiet when we should speak, and so don't judge him too harshly. Now, tonight we're going to look at the gospel of grace and how it is a doctrine we're to live by. And that's really the crux of the rest of the book. I mean, is that the doctrine of grace, the idea that God has given us unmerited favor through the shed blood of Christ, and that is something we live by and live each day. So looking at verse number 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentile, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified. There's that word, justified, twice. Justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. He's mentioned it 3 times. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. So 4 times here, he mentions the word justified. Now, I love that word. I've studied it out, and it's really changed my life, because it means just if I'd never sinned. I want you to think about that. Justified. Just if I'd never sinned. Jew or Gentile, it makes no difference. We all need to be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what verse 15 is saying. And all have sinned. There's no distinction. That God is not a respecter of persons. All of us are just as sinful as the next person and in need of a Savior. Listen to what it says, you know, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But listen to what it says in Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Everyone must believe. The point of the law was to bring everyone to Christ. So what is justification? It is the legal and judicious act of God where He declares us righteous in Jesus Christ. Not that we have righteousness in and of ourselves, but that God the Father has declared us righteous. Now, there are 2 aspects to this idea of justification. Number 1, you have the forgiveness and remission and removal of sin. Okay? You understand that. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, all of your past, present, and future sin was imputed to Christ or credited to His account. That's what that word means. But the second part of justification is the fact that, and I don't think people really understand this, so I'm going to say it slow, and I'm not being sarcastic. It's sad. But I think a lot of Christians, I think you guys get it, but I think a lot of Christians in your family and your friend groups don't get this. The second part of justification is the imputed or credited righteousness of Christ to our account. Yeah. God looks down from heaven. Now, I say this a lot at funerals because I need people to understand that works don't save you. But when God looks down from heaven and sees a believer, he sees the righteousness or the sinless life and substitutionary death of Christ himself applied to us. Now, you maybe have heard the old-time preachers say, well, it's under the blood that Christ, God sees us through the blood of Christ. That's what rose-colored glasses in the old country songs meant, was that we see, God sees us through the grace and sees us like his son. Now, man generally thinks of salvation as pardon, and if salvation only meant forgiveness, we would still be bound to our sin nature and have no choice but to continue in sin. We would be forgiven, but we'd still be sinners in God's sight. And when God looks at a believer, he doesn't see someone who's still a sinner just forgiven or someone who is just delivered from the guilt of sin. God sees us completely justified. And you got to grab that now. Because we have a we live in this world, we live in our flesh, we operate on this planet, and we don't look at ourselves that way. Romans 3:22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. It's open to everyone, but it's only upon those that believe, and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. Faith is only as good as the object it's in. And all men are trusting in something, even the atheist is trusting in themselves, but the Christian trusts in Christ. Now, the law would be a wage through works if we found righteousness that way. And the grace of righteousness is a gift that justifies the sinner. We've all sinned. We all have fallen short. There's no difference. But Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So all men are declared guilty that he might offer to all men his free gift of salvation. I love that. Justified freely. God's absolute that way. He loves us, but he waits for us to trust Christ. And once we do, we are then justified. You know, it didn't cost us anything, but it cost the Father the life of his Son. So we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ without the deeds of the law. We hear this in Romans 3:28, where it says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It's just God's grace. Why are we not to judge one another? Because, listen, buddy, we're just as sinful as the next person, and it's only by God's grace. Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Listen, I understand that the King James Bible is not written in modern English. I understand that. But there's a couple of things I need you to grasp and not be upset about. And number one, it's sacred language. So you shouldn't expect it to be written with language you'd use at the gas station, because we're talking about God. Right? Okay, stay with me. And number two, it's not God's fault that the English language has changed. The word propitiation, there is no synonym. Do you know what that means? There is no other word in the English language that means exactly the same thing or carries the same weight. So to use anything else would give you an inferior view of God's pardon and forgiveness of you. Did you understand? I'm not scolding you or scolding you for reading other versions. I'm just telling you, why does preacher use the old King James? Because the word propitiation means the one and only sacrifice that satisfies the holiness of God. That's what propitiation means. That Christ is the only one that satisfies the holiness of God. And you've got people in your family, and I got people in my family who are still trying to find a sacrifice that satisfies the holiness of God. And there's only one, and that's Christ. And the word redemption there in Romans 3 talks about buying back a slave or buying back something that has been purchased by someone else. And the blood is that price. So in Romans 3:30, it says, seeing it is one God who shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision, that's the Gentiles, through faith. One God does it. Now, the Jews are still looking to the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16. And the Bible says in Romans 10:3, for they being ignorant of God, the Jews being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, listen, when you talk to people, you don't have to understand their religion backwards and forwards to witness to them. What you got to get to is the fact that sin has a cost. They recognize they're a sinner. What is it that you're thinking is going to cover your sin? You talk to a Jew, it's because I'm racially a Jew. Number two, I pray. You know, we do this, we do that, we follow this, we follow that. That's not, no flesh shall be justified by the works of the law, the Bible says. That's why in Romans 8:33 it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. You did not justify yourself. See, if you justified yourself, I could argue with you. And the devil will argue with you if you're justifying yourself. But if it's God who declared you as just, even Satan himself, the most intelligent being God ever created, cannot argue against your justification. See, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, listen to what the Bible says. For he hath made him to be sin for us. He made Christ, the Father made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin. That we, okay, stop right there. He knew no sin. Jesus was sinless. You know, I recognize that I'm old school, and having a gray beard like I do doesn't help dispel that idea. But I'm old school, and I get that. But I want you to understand, where was I going with this? That's right. Oh, it's not that Pastor Mix just clings to his Bible and his weapons, okay? It's not that Pastor Mix is just clinging to a specific version of the Bible. No, it's the fact that when you de-emphasize the deity and sinlessness of Christ, you are preaching a false Christ. Do you understand? Does it mean that God can't put a Bible in modern English? No, I believe God can. Has he, though? Two things can't be different and be the same. I'm just being honest with you. I love you. I'm not here to scold you, but I'm just going to say it like it is. Two things can't be separate and be the same. Okay? I'm sure there's some good stuff, but you got to understand that when God said it, I understand we don't talk like this in modern English. I get it. But that's not what I came to talk about. I came to talk about justification tonight. That's what I came to talk about. And I want you to understand that Christ is the one who actually made the difference. So when you take away from his deity, you take away from his divinity, you take away from his sinlessness, you're not talking about the same Christ I am. You're not talking about the one who was sinless and can actually reconcile you as the God-man. The one who can actually die in your place and pay for your sins. It's a counterfeit Christ. And every other world religion has a version of Christ. They do. Mary Baker Eddy and the Seventh-day Adventist was that the Christian Science? I get them backwards. Anyway, Steve's back there. It's close enough. All right. Every one of them, the Mormons, the JWs, the Muslims, the Buddhists, they all have a version of Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you, even the Jews have a version of Jesus Christ. He's the bastard son of a Roman soldier who raped Mary. That's what they teach. Whose body was stolen by his apostles when the guards slept. By the way, the guards should have lost their life because that's the rule in the Roman army. You don't sleep on the job. And the Bible even says this lie has been perpetrated even unto today. You'll see that in the Gospels. So when you don't present Christ as the Bible teaches, you're leading people to follow a works-based religion or a religion that's futile. Because only Jesus Christ can make the difference. This is why Paul was having such a heartburn with Peter when Peter and Barnabas kind of backed up and started following the Judaizers. He's like, hold on a minute. Who saved you? How were you saved, Peter? How were you saved, Barnabas? Verse 16 here in Galatians 2, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now, we know this from Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We know this from Titus 3, 5. We know this from Romans 4, 5. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. God imputed, he credited Christ's righteousness to you. You're his son or daughter. He looks at you and he sees Jesus. Justification is separate from anything the law can provide. Do you understand? That's what Peter said in Acts, or Paul said in Acts 13, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. So justification is an act of God where he sovereignly declares you a righteous in Christ. It has to do with your standing in front of the throne. Where do you, you know, not just your physical standing, but your spiritual standing with God. Where do you stand? Well, with Christ, you stand in Christ. And it's not the law that saves you. Romans 1, 16 and 17, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why? For therein, for in the gospel, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, from faith in me to faith in you, as I declare it to you. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So God justifies the ungodly. The law said it could not do this, but it would justify the righteous. So God put all of my sin on Jesus, even the ones I haven't committed yet. All of your sin, past, present, and future, are on Christ 2,000 years ago on Calvary. He paid the penalty. No human effort can merit justification. And no man can be set right with God on the basis of his works. And definitely not by the law. Romans 3, 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. See, the law was a heavy burden to the Jew. We talked about the Sabbath and Sabbath keeping in messages past on how they added all these different rules to where the best day of the week became the worst day of the week. And if the Jews can't carry it, what makes you think us Gentiles who weren't raised in it could do it either? Listen to what Paul wrote in Acts 15. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? Now, the truth is the law was given so that we would have the knowledge of what sin is. That's what it is. What was negative became a positive in our life because the law did not justify you. The law showed you how sinful you were and that you needed a Christ, or you needed Christ. And at the instant you believed, at that very instant, there was an immediate transaction between the believer and God. And your faith is what God honored and justified you. Faith is an accomplished act and a fact for us. See, this is where Christianity differs from the world's religions. This is where Christ differs from all the other holy men and would-be saviors this world has tried to produce. This is what makes it different. Every other system is a merit system where we have been given it freely and we are now considered children, not slaves. We are his children. So faith in Christ Jesus alone is the one that avails us. Galatians 2:16, not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Christ. So justification is an act of God upon you. Now, I told you that if you take like the Knaves Topical Bible or one of these other online services and study what happens to you at salvation, there are just dozens and dozens and dozens of things that God does to you and for you at the moment you believe. And one of them is he declares you just, justified, right or righteous, right with him. Now, it's true, no one Christian is more justified than the next Christian. Justification is not simply forgiveness or pardon. Remember, if it was just forgiveness, we could go back out and sin and be declared sinful again. But being justified, you can't be declared sinful again, not in God's eyes. If you were pardoned only and forgiven, you'd still have a record that standed against you, or stood against you. I'm using bad English. But Galatians 3:8 says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying," he's quoting the Old Testament, "in thee shall all the nations be blessed." The blessing of salvation was promised to the entire world through Abraham. Now, Galatians 3:22 says, "But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." So the law does not make us a sinner. The law is a mirror that reveals us as we are already sinners. So grace is what provides the cleansing. You don't wash your face with a mirror, right? But the mirror reveals the dirt so you can be washed. See, the lawful use of the law of God is to reveal to a sinner that they need salvation. The unlawful use of the law of God is to try to attain salvation by keeping it. And our friends, the Jews and the Jewish nation, are trying to do that, and so are many others. And I will even admit, I've met some Baptists who are off into this mess. If a person could be saved through the works of the law, then why did Christ go to the cross? Now, Galatians 2, where we are, it says in verse 21, "I do not frustrate the grace of God." That means I don't make it void. I don't void out the grace of God. "For if righteousness came by the law," or come by the law, "then Christ is dead in vain." See, the law says do. But grace says done, it is finished. Galatians 3:24, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ." Why? "That we might be justified by faith." That's what Galatians 3:24 says. So the law was given to prepare the way for Christ. Not like a modern school teacher, but at the time of this writing, the Greeks would hire people, sometimes slaves even, to watch over and protect their children and to lead them to truth, to teach them, to guide them. The Jew was not born of the law, but was brought up by the law. Just like a slave was not the child's the slave was not a child of the father, but was to help to bring the father's child up in his education. So the schoolmaster prepared the child for life, and the law did not give life to the Jew, but prepared the Jew for life in the Messiah. It was to prepare them. So, and this is the crazy thing, my brothers and sisters. I've often asked myself, why did God bring in the Romans to destroy and decimate the temple? Because God had to destroy the temple and the sacrifice system and scatter the nation to get his point across. Do you understand? At that moment that Christ arose from the grave, they no longer needed lambs or doves or oxen or goats, sheep. They didn't need sacrifice anymore, because God's Passover lamb was sacrificed for all of us. And all of the Old Testament was a picture and a type of Christ, to bring us to Christ. That's what it says there in Galatians chapter 3:24, how that the law was our schoolmaster. So today the Jew has no altar. It has no priesthood. They're trying to rebuild it. There is a temple school, or I can't think of the name of it. It's in Jerusalem, and they're trying to train the next generation where they can rebuild the temple. And God said they would in Revelation. They're waiting for that red heifer to be born so they can sanctify a high priest and restart the sacrificial system. But the Jew today has no priest, no altar. They're under the law of bondage. The demands of the law remind people they need a Savior, but the law is not an end to themselves. Now, you know, let me give you an example. Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler in the Bible? He comes to Jesus and said, "What must I do to attain eternal life?" And Jesus goes through 9 of the 10 commandments. Boom, 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 boom.
And he says, all of these have I kept from my youth up. Now, he had kept the Ten Commandments to the best of his ability, and he still realized something was missing. And he got up, got dressed, got on his donkey, and went and found the man called Jesus. You understand, the Ten Commandments brought him to Christ. The law was given to show a person they're a sinner. It's tragic that the Jews did not recognize their Messiah. It's tragic that God had to destroy the temple, destroy the sacrificial system, and scatter them to get his point across. The Jew has no altar, no sacrifice, no priest, no king. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, justification, again, is that sovereign act of God. But in verses 17 through 21, justification is through Christ without the law. Verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, if therefore Christ is the minister of sin? God forbid. You know, you and I have a new position in Christ. We are now brought to the table of God as his child. Now, we must not continue in sin. That's what it says in Romans 6:1. What shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We make God a liar when we live in sin. I want you to understand that. You make God a liar. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. If God says a believer is saved, and I'm a believer, then I'm saved. If I question my salvation, what am I actually questioning? I'm doubting God's word. You say, well, I don't know if I was sincere. You know, just to the... You know, what's crazy is we forget that on the day you got saved, you were a lost person, separate from God, trying to make a spiritual decision. And you think there should have been some accurate precision there on your part. That's foolishness. To the best of your ability, like the publican who went down to the temple, just beat on his chest and say, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. It isn't complicated. Verse 18, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If I go back under the law, then I'm never going to be justified. But the truth is, it's God who justified me. I'm no longer under the law. That's what it said in Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. So salvation is not a return to the law. Actually, you're dead to the law. Look at verse 19. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I've actually been delivered from the law, from the penalty of it. Listen to what it says in Romans 7:6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not the oldness of the letter. See, Christ is the end of the law. That's what it says in Romans 10:4, meaning he's the fulfillment of it all. He is the fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament was pointing at. All of the rules, all of the rituals, all of the feasts, all of the dietary restrictions, all of that was fulfilled completely in Christ. He's the end of the law. Christ has made us free from it. Listen to what it says in Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm delivered unto God. Now, I know that when we think of the word saved, we think of being delivered from the penalty of sin in hell. We have been, and that's true. But the other part of saved you need to look at is you have been separated unto God for God's pleasure. You know, like a little child walks up and says, yes, you can have a cookie. And they look at the plate of cookies, and of course they go for the biggest one. But they grab that one, and they pull it unto themselves and go, this one, it looks like the others, but this one here, this one is mine. He has saved it for himself. And sometimes we just think about the fact that we're not going to the flames anymore. But we forget that we've also been saved for His pleasure, for Him. So the law had condemned me. The law had accused me. And what the law could not do for me, Christ did for me. And what's so crazy is, I have received so much more in Jesus Christ than I ever lost in being a son of Adam. We have received so much more in Him. Now with Christ, you know, verse 20, I died with Christ when Christ died. Look at this. I am crucified with Christ. When Christ died on the cross, because I'm a believer, I died with Him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This is the Christ life. That's what you and I are trying to live. He is trying to live His life, not my life. Stop right there for a second. Christ doesn't want me to live my life. He wants to be able to live His life through me. Now I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. I'm not the one alive, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, this is verse 20, the life which I now live in the flesh, this body of flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The marked total change is my relationship with God because of Christ. It points us to the cross, it not just forgiveness and eternal life, but a living relationship with the God who loves us. It's Christ now living in us and through us, and Christ is the sole purpose and reason and meaning for our life. And see, so every day Paul looked outside himself to Christ and the finished work of Christ and saw himself as righteous in the sight of God because Paul knew he was in Christ, not because Paul was anything special, but because he was in Christ. And every day we need to look outside ourselves to Christ, see outside ourselves justified before God as our representative union in Christ. This is not a license to live as we please, but a motivation to live pleasing to the one who saved us. And listen, it is as if we are to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. I'm crucified with Christ. Is Christ living in and through me? The fact that I have great standing, perfect standing with the Father is because I'm justified in Christ. Yes, when John went to heaven when he wrote the book of the Revelation, he saw you there. It's true. That'll put a zap on your head if you think about it. But I'm not talking about you standing before the throne. I'm talking about your judicial standing before the judge of the universe and the fact that you are right with Him. Right. Righteousness means I am right with Him. This is now motivated by our faith. In Galatians 3:11, it says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. We're also purified by faith, Acts 15:9. And we are justified by faith, Romans 5:1. And we stand before God by faith, 2 Corinthians 1:24. And we walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We possess Christ in our hearts by faith, Ephesians 3:17. And we have the victory over this world because of our faith, 1 John 5:4. This is all made possible by the act of love by our Father in heaven. See, Paul knew that Christ died for him. Peter knew He died for him. You know He died for you. The problem with the people in our life is the fact that they don't know that Christ died for them, and they need to know. See, the death has no effect if the law is the one that brings righteousness. That's what verse 21 says. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I don't make it void by running back to that which cannot justify. The devil wants you to live defeated. He doesn't have to make you a drug addict to ruin your life. He just has to get you to where you're defeated, because you don't like the way you look, or you don't like what you see, or you don't think you're all that you ought to be. The problem is you're not looking at Christ. You're looking at yourself. And you are sinful. You are a fallen person. But that's not how God sees you. I preached a message several years ago on our identity in Christ. I am who Christ says I am, whether I feel like it or not. I am what Christ says I am, whether I believe it or not. I am. And you've got to understand, when we're dealing with people, this generation today is struggling with their identity. The devil is a genius. He really is. Satan is a genius. He has made all of this LGBT stuff a question of identity. Do you understand? That they've been taught that's how they should see themselves. No, they should see themselves from Christ's point of view, the way God sees them. They are who God says they are. They are what God says they are. They are the gender God says they are. This is, and they're missing out. They can't hope to ever live up to society's standards that are always changing, and that's why they're always depressed and they're always on the verge of suicide, so many people. It's because they're looking at themselves from society's standpoint. And you know, my preacher said this once. I've said it a couple of times. I'm probably going to say it 100 times. Stop worrying about what other people think of you. They're too busy thinking about themselves to think about you. Do you understand? Oh, my soul. Somebody probably going to think I'm mean. No, trust me. They're too busy thinking about themselves to think about you. You are who God says you are. When it says you're redeemed, you're redeemed. When it says you're holy because of Christ's holiness, you're holy. If God says you're right and right with him because of Christ and his grace, then you're right with him. I don't care what the world says. You are who God says you are. You are what God says you are. You know? So, the other thing I love about this, and for the sake of time, I'm going to make it short. We have justification right now. You understand that? You have eternal life right now. We get that. Jesus standing at the graveside of Lazarus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. We have it now. You are justified. If you're born again, say amen. You have justification now. Right now. And you know how long you get to keep that? For eternity. You are always going to be considered right with God and just before God for eternity. Isn't that cool? You may not always be in your career. You may not always be a member of AARP. You may not always be a member of a gym or Netflix or whatever. But you will always be justified before God. The Bible says in Romans 5, it says in verse 17, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by one offense, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. My relationship with God the Father is a living relationship, not a legal contract. It is a living relationship that never fades. This is you know, when Christ died, I died. When he arose, I arose. When he was seated at the right hand of God, I was seated at the right hand of God, Ephesians 1:3. Just as Christ will die no more, neither will we die spiritually anymore. Justification is... I want you to think about that for just a second. Let's talk about that for a second. What happens at death? You are currently indwelt by the Spirit of God. Do you know that? He is now in you, and he talks to you, and he impresses things. He gives you discernment. He is with you now. Guess what happens at death? Huh? You go from heart to heart to face in an instant, never to be separated from God. That's what he means. You are never, ever again going to be outside of God's presence or God's favor. I love this. Justification is permanent because the saint is in Christ. Just as Christ is in me. Our justification extends through eternity because of his blood. And I'm skipping down for sake of time. I have it now. I have it right now. But if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to make it yours now. What do I mean by that? By faith, trust Christ. Well, I know no one's perfect, but I'm not that bad. No, you're a guilty sinner just like me. And you must believe. Not only must you believe, but you should also have to trust him. You know, like I said, a lot of people say, well, you sound awful judgy. No, I'm just reading the verdict the judge has already handed down. That's really what it is. Yeah. Like I said, if I wrote the Bible, I'd rewrite it, and it'd say we all get to heaven and we just work it out. You know, we just work it out. And we all come to an understanding at some point. But when I'm reading the Bible, like John 3:18, for he that believeth not is condemned already, for he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you understand? That's just the verdict the judge already handed down. That's not me. That's not the church. That's just the verdict. There's no other way. This is why justification is so beautiful. The record of your sin and my sin has been cleared. And the guilt, from God's point of view, is dissolved. God did the work. Now all I have to do is believe. And you say, well, you're already born again. That's true. But sometimes this old flesh wants me to crawl back up on the altar into some sort of a works-based thing that makes me feel good, rather than just admitting my sin, confessing it, and having God wash me clean. Because I don't believe you lose your salvation, but you know, I can lose my fellowship because I'm a disobedient son. That's all. I'm just a disobedient son. And my flesh wants me to go do something so it'll feel better about it. But no, all I have to do is lower my pride and admit it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is why justification is beautiful. You have it now. You will always have it. And it's not about your works or the works of the law. It's declaring you're standing judiciously before God. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. This gospel of grace is a doctrine we need to live by. Our heavenly gracious Father, we love you, and God, only you can forgive sin. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us. Thank you for making it possible so that you could forgive us. I recognize that, God. All the things you worked in time and space and in the lives of humanity to bring about our Savior, and all of the prophecies and all of the things he did to fulfill it and be recognized, yet only to be despised. But Father, thank you that he went to the cross for me, and I was able to die with him and rise again and be right with you. Thank you, God. Let me never forget my standing with you. And let me do it as a motivation to serve you in a pleasing fashion, in Jesus' name. Amen. As every head bowed and every eye closed, won't you take a moment and just praise the Lord that you're justified. You're right and righteous because he declared it so. Who God says you are. You are what God says you are. Our Father and great God, only you can save, and only you can justify. So tonight, God, we praise you for what you've done in our life. Thank you for the freedom we have from the penalty and now power of sin. We have a choice now to live pleasing to thee. And one day your Son is going to come and we're going to be removed from the very presence of sin. What an exciting time, Lord. Even so quickly come, Lord Jesus. We're ready. Thank you for all you're doing. Bless us as we go our separate ways. Let us take your truth on our lips to those who don't know you, from faith in us to faith in them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.